Welcome to our online service this week. I think we're on week 9 or 10 of the lockdown, and although it's beginning to ease a little bit, we're still having to meet virtually online. We still can't meet together in the hall at the moment, but that time will come. But for now, let's bless and praise God as we bring our offering of praise to him this morning and look at his word and just look forward to that time when we can all be together again. So let's pray before I hand over to Chris to lead worship. Father, I thank you that we can come together in this manner. Lord, it isn't as we would want and it isn't as, Father, we would hope or expect, but Lord, it's the next best thing we can do. Father, you say where two or three are gathered in your name, and Lord, there are a large group of us gathered this morning in your name, virtually online. Father, when you said those words, I'm sure that you knew, Father, that there would be times like this. There would be meetings, Father, held online. And that, Father, you even included these times. So, Lord, we come together in your name, Father, to honour you, to worship you, to bless you. Lord, let this offering of our praise and worship and just turning to the word be a blessing to you this morning and to us. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts and speak into us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Hope Church. It's good to be with you again this morning. Although lockdown has been eased, we are still unable to meet at present, but hopefully not for too much longer. But there are always positives to take from these times. Right now we have all the time in the world to reflect on life, on decisions we make, on goals we have for the future, and the people we have around us. But things will change, hopefully, for the better. One thing we can be assured of that will not change is that in Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's lift our voices in praise with our first song, Sound of Adoration.
Shepherd that carried us home when we were proud.
Today we see clearer skies around us, less noise and pollution, all because our demands are much lower and everyone's staying in. But even in this more wild part of our garden, I still see God's creation at work. What an amazing God we serve. When this current crisis comes to an end, Let's come out of it as a new, fitter, healthier, and more focused people. But above all, kinder, generous, and gracious, caring for God's creation and the people in it. Pray and ask the Lord to change you where change is needed. This next song is one of my particular favourites, and I often link it to the previous song, as it reminds me of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for mankind, for each and every one of us. It's your blood that cleanses me. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let's lift up his name with a sound of singing in our last song this morning.
Oh,
Thank you, Chris, for leading us in worship. I've asked Yvonne to lead us in prayer this week. So Yvonne, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Good morning, everybody. It's very nice to see you or not see you, but I trust you are all well. And when I was preparing for this, I felt the Lord remind me of Psalm 23, a very well-known psalm, where the Lord is guaranteed to be with us, takes us through everything, walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us. So I just want to thank him for that today and just to remind us that he is with us. Father, I just want to thank you that you are our Father God, that you love us, you care for us. And even when we go through hard times and dark times at times, Father, you walk through us. You walk with us through the valley. And Lord, you bring us out the other side. Thank you, Father, you do not camp us in the valley, but we have a future and a hope. And Lord, I just pray that as we pray today and tonight and every other day, Father, that, Lord, we will just be drawn closer into relationship with you, and that, Father, we will hear from you. Father, I pray, I just want to thank you, actually, first, Father, and give you praise and give you glory. And I just pray, Father, and thank you that you've kept us safe so far. And, Lord, I want to just bless you and praise your holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I just want to bring the school situation to you now. Thank you, Lord, that we are getting near the testing, but also, Lord, there is still this, should we not open them on the 1st of June? And I know that it's being looked at again really now, Lord, and maybe delayed. Father, we ask for your wisdom on this. That the people that are, the unions, the teachers, and the government and SAGE, all together, Lord, would come to a good census of agreement, and that there will be safety. Thank you, Father, for the teachers that are already teaching in the schools with key workers and other children who need that extra support now, who can't be at home. So, Father, the vulnerable. So, Father, I just pray that you would enable this to go through, and that we will open the school and indeed roll out every part of lifting the lockdown will be rolled out at the right timing and with the right safety guards in. And we ask that, Father, for your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. Father, I just ask you to forgive us as a nation as we seek your face to get through this COVID-19. And people are working hard, Lord, to save so many people's lives. And yet, Father, we slaughter unborn babies daily. And Lord, we just ask your forgiveness. We've broken your commandments and your laws in so many ways, Father. This is just one of them, but in so many ways. Father, we ask that you would have mercy and you would forgive us, Lord, and that you would help turn this nation around, Lord. Father, only you know how. That it seems so impossible sometimes to us, that we could possibly see it turned around. But Lord, we pray that, Father, we will see it turned around, and that the there will be an awakening. People will come to an understanding and a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus. We ask your forgiveness, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Father, we just want to thank you again that you are mindful of us. And you do bless us as your children. And we don't always understand things, but we do know we're blessed. And Lord, I just want to finish by reading the grace over. And so from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. And this is from the Lord and from me. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Be blessed. God bless you. Hopefully I'll see you soon, but I'll see you on Zoom anyway. Bye.
Just one notice for you this week. This coming week, we're going to have the online Zoom meetings in the evening on Monday, Wednesday and Friday only. So that's the online Zoom prayer meetings will be on Monday, Wednesday and Friday only, 8 to 8:30. So that's the only notice I've got for you this week. But we are changing the frequency of it slightly for this coming week. I want to bring a word this morning from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament is one of my favourite places to go. I absolutely love reading the Proverbs. And the great thing is, it's 31 chapters. And I know one of the people that I used to listen to used to say that he read a chapter a day. Obviously, if you're in February, then you're only going to get to chapter 28. But you can read the Proverbs through in a month and really take them in. And the important thing about Proverbs is to understand is that these are important sayings, but they're not guaranteed to happen. So we mustn't just pluck them out of context and say, well, Proverbs says, so it must happen. Proverbs are the general way things should go, the general way things should happen. And it's a great book of wisdom. So I want to just start off by reading from chapter 1. I'm only going to read the first 7 verses. And in some Bibles, this will be labelled as the purpose of the Proverbs. So why were these written down? So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1 says this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding and insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let discerning person obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." The Proverbs is a great book in the Bible, and it is there. And I love this bit in the middle here where it talks about for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice and integrity. Those are three qualities: righteousness, justice and integrity, that if you can have as a person, people will want to listen to your counsel, want to spend time with you, want to hear what you've got to say. And they are three things that perhaps are often sadly missing in our society today, particularly amongst some of our world leaders. So the idea of Proverbs is to, as it says in verse 5, to listen and increase learning, to obtain guidance. That's the idea behind the Proverbs. Now, Proverbs, not all of these Proverbs that are written in the book of Proverbs were Solomon's Proverbs, but the majority of them are. And we looked at Solomon earlier on, I think it was last, no, it might have been earlier on this year, but we looked at Solomon and how God appeared to him and asked him a few things. I just want to remind you of that. If we turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. "And it was at Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And God said, 'Ask, what should I give you? Ask, what should I give you?'" And if you remember, we looked at that Solomon could have asked for a whole load of things. He could have asked for wealth and riches and everything else, but he didn't ask for that. What he did was he asked for wisdom. That's what he asked for. He asked for wisdom to be able to do this. And the answer is in verse, the answer that Solomon replies, you see, in the following verses, it says, "And Solomon replied, 'You have shown great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness and integrity.'" Those things again, righteousness and integrity. "You have continued this great and faithful love for him by giving him a son to sit on his throne as it is today. Lord my God, you have now made your servant king in my father David's place. Yet I am just a youth with no experience in leadership. Your servant is among your people you have chosen, a people too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant a receptive heart to judge your people and discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?' Now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had requested this. And so God said to him, 'Because you have requested this and did not ask for a long life or riches for yourself or the death of your enemies, but you ask for discernment for yourself to administer justice, I will therefore do what you have asked.'" Notice there God says he will do therefore. What's it therefore? What was there beforehand? "I will therefore do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and understanding heart so that there has never been anyone like before, so anyone like you before, and never will be again. And the great thing is that God also goes on and says this: "In addition, I will give you what you did not ask for, both riches and honour, so that no king will be your equal during your entire life. If, that's the condition, if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commands, just as your father David did, I will give you a long life." You know, I find it fantastic. I was talking this week with somebody, and we were just talking about prayer and healing in particular, and how it is when perhaps if we focus on the healing and if we just seek God for healing, that sometimes, I'm not saying all the times, but sometimes it seems so hard to come by that that the healing doesn't come. But when we seek to bless others, when we seek to do other things, healing becomes almost something that we think, oh, hang on, there's healing here. I've just been healed. And I think it's because it's because God sort of highlights something here. God says to him, because you have requested this and did not ask for long life, riches, or for yourself, or the death of your enemies, because you didn't ask that, because you weren't seeking all of that, then I'm going to bless you with that anyway. And I think that's part of what Jesus talks about when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. See, I think sometimes we seek God's hand. We seek what God can do for us. We seek what God can provide for us. We seek what God, we believe he is. And those things are all true about him. But we seek those things rather than seeking him. And this is what Solomon was getting at here, was that, you know, he didn't ask for any of that. He asked for wisdom. And in fact, his wisdom was so great that it ended up being written down and ended up being this book of Proverbs in the Bible. So God offered to Solomon whatever he wanted, but Solomon asked for wisdom. And I do wonder sometimes how we would respond if God appeared to us in a similar way and said, you know, today I'll give you whatever you want. What would it be? Would it be riches? Would it be possibly, you know, hopefully it might be, Lord, end this coronavirus around the world, because that would be a good thing for mankind. But what, you know, I think sometimes what we would respond to perhaps reveals where we're at and our heart is with God. Because Solomon's response was, look, Lord, you've just blessed me, Lord, with the ability to judge and lead your people. That's a very sort of humble request. But in doing that request, God was able to say, I will give you more than you could ask or imagine. How many times do we trot that verse out? Oh, God will give you more than you can ask or imagine. Ask him for your healing and he'll give you more than you can ask or imagine. But I think the context is here that Solomon didn't seek anything like that. He sought wisdom and justice for administering his people, God's people. And God said, well, I'll add these things onto you. I'll give you more than you could ask or imagine. And so God did answer Solomon's prayer. You see, Solomon was given this wise and understanding heart. And there was this condition later on that he says that if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and commands just as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Sadly, Solomon tailed off towards the end of his life. And so those things are conditional. And I think sometimes many of the promises in the Bible are conditional. There are some things that are unconditional. Our salvation, for example, when we've trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we confess him to our fellow man, Jesus says that he will be faithful to confess us before God. So I think some of those things are, they're there. But I think some of the verses that get plucked out of the Bible, we miss out the word if at the beginning, or the condition. We just say, oh, my plans are to prosper you. But we miss out the first part, or we miss out the after part, if you continue to walk in my ways. And so Solomon was given this precious gift. And James says, if we lack wisdom, we should ask for it because God will give it. So God delights in giving wisdom to his people. And this is a time where we need people who are wise. If whatever role you're in, whether it's in society, whether you're in work, or whether you're retired, or whether you're just a mum or a dad or grandma or granddad or whatever you might say you are, you need wisdom. You need wisdom for the people that look to you for answers. So ask God for wisdom. It's a good thing to ask God for. And James says that he will give it to us. If any of us lack wisdom, then ask the Lord and it delights him to give it to us. And so the book of Proverbs is this guidebook as well. We can ask for wisdom, but we can also train ourselves in wisdom. I find these Proverbs fascinating. Some of them are in chunks. We read a chunk from Proverbs at the beginning, but some of them are just one-liners. And they're just full of truth. And you can see them working out sometimes in our society and think, man, that is the Bible in action. So look at the book of Proverbs. Don't dismiss it. I find it a fascinating book and it's full of great and useful insight. And we need the wisdom of God in this life. More than any other time, right now, we need the wisdom of God. Our leaders need the wisdom of God. Maybe they're too proud to ask for it. Don't be too proud yourself to ask God for his wisdom, because he delights to give you his wisdom. And so the purpose of the book of Proverbs, as I read it out at the beginning, this purpose was to, verses 1 to 4, was to, for learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice and integrity. I remember when I first became a Christian, I don't know how or why I was given a Gospel of Luke to read through, and that's where my love of the Gospel of Luke came from, because that was the first book of the Bible I read. But very quickly, and as I said, I don't know how or why, I ended up in the Proverbs, and I would just sometimes sit there and read the Proverbs and just think, these things are amazing. There was this craving inside of me for wisdom, to understand what God was saying in these Proverbs. And I love them. They are great, these Proverbs. Honestly, they're full of riches. I encourage you to, as it were, read them, chew them over and suck the life out of them, because they're full of life, these things. Proverbs gives us wisdom. Our minds are incredibly powerful. I think some scientists say that we only use a certain percentage of our mind. It's something crazy like 10 or 15% at the most of our capacity of our brain is what we use. And the mind is got this great potential. And I believe that God created us. Well, I don't believe, I know his word says that he created us in his image. And I think part of that is that he's given us a desire, a craving for wisdom. Because God is all wisdom. God is all knowing. God is all discerning. God is all knowledgeable. And I think there's part of us that wants to know that. Maybe when we get to glory and we have our bodies in glory, maybe that will be the point where we will fully understand what it means to fully use our minds. I don't know. But what I do know is that we were created with the ability to receive wisdom. And wisdom and our capacity to reason and to think things through is actually what one of the things, not everything, but one of the things that distinguishes us between the animals. You know, my little dog, he's crazy. He'll go and bark at the wind blowing through the fence, but he'll do it every time the wind blows. You'd think he'd learn. Now, he does learn some things. But as human beings, we have this incredible ability to reason things through, to understand. We have a knowing of right and wrong deep within each one of us from the moment we're born. I always find it fascinating when you talk to people who are atheists and people who don't believe in any divinity of any kind. And they'll often say, particularly somewhat Richard Dawkins, one of the things I think he says is that he can go along with, you know, evolution and all that kind of stuff. But the thing he can't understand is how we can love one another and how we have this built-in ability to know right from wrong, right from a very young age. That's God in us. That's the image. That's us being made in his image. Unfortunately, through the sin of Adam, we ended up knowing the bad side of life. But we've got sin, and that's why we have death and decay and sickness in our body sometimes. But, and here's the big but, when we go to heaven, we will be made whole again, as we should have been at the beginning. We will still know right from wrong, but we will always choose right from wrong. That's always a prayer that, again, I used to teach the young people when we led the youth group. I say, you know, when you pray, say to God, God, let me know right from wrong and help me to choose right over wrong. Because I think sometimes we know what's right, but we still choose what's wrong. Lord, give us the power to know what's right and wrong and help us to choose what is right. Give us the ability to choose what is right over what is wrong. And Proverbs gives us his instruction to understand just how God's justice and righteousness works in the world. And as it says in these early verses, it's prudent. It's a great word. It's prudent instruction in righteousness, justice and integrity. Proverbs helps us to understand what fairness is. Proverbs helps us understand what integrity is. Proverbs helps us to understand what justice is all about. It's through the Proverbs that God can speak his words of knowledge, his words of righteousness, his words of justice and integrity. And the great thing about Proverbs is it's one of the few books of the Bible where you can take a verse out and say, the Bible says, and not have to worry about the context around it, because it's a proverb. They're often contained within their little verse. And these proverbs are there for giving us life. So the profit from Proverbs is in understanding. It says in verse 5, let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance. So even if you're already wise, even if you're wise by the eyes of the world, you can still increase your learning by reading the Proverbs. Even if you're already a discerning person, you can obtain guidance, further guidance, by reading the Proverbs. Because it says in verse 6, for understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. That's what a wise person can do. That's what a wise person does. They listen, they hear, and they glean the truth from it. And so the book instructs us in wisdom. It does give us a real sort of core lesson in wisdom. Now, there are some wisdom literature. This is considered wisdom literature in the Bible. You've got things like poetry and narrative, but this is considered to be wisdom literature. There are some books of wisdom literature in the Apocrypha. Now, I know the Apocrypha is not considered to be the canon of scripture, but it's important. So what they say is you should never derive your theology or your creeds or your beliefs from the Apocrypha, but you can use the Apocrypha to back up what you see in the Bible. And the Apocrypha's got several other books of wisdom books in it as well, and there's some great books in there. Perhaps we'll touch on those at another session at some later point. But wise ones, if you want to be wise in this world, you should give a priority to learning. Now, you haven't got to go and do a theology degree or anything like that, or a degree. It's learning by reading the Word of God. That makes you wise. And a great place to start would be the book of Proverbs. It is a great place to learn about priorities of learning. The thing about Proverbs is it gives us wise counsel, and people will come and find you. If you're someone who gives out wise counsel, if you're someone who talks wisely, people will seek you out when they need advice. People will come and ask you, and then you can give a godly perspective, not human wisdom, but God's wisdom. You know, you can read the Proverbs and say, write them down, right, or highlight them, underline them, whatever it might be. And then if you find one that you think, oh, this is so great, remember it, commit it to memory, and then say, Lord, help me to give somebody this proverb these coming weeks. Help me just to say to them, oh, do you know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that, and then give them this proverb. It's a great way to do that. It's a great way to gain understanding, and understanding we can then pass on to others. See, those who are wise find the keys to life's mysteries. And you will find some of the keys to life's mysteries in the Proverbs. And we'll look at the Proverbs over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to pick a few sections out that we can look at and see what is good about it. But Proverbs will help us to interpret what some of the teachings of the Bibles are. The best way to interpret the Bible is to use the Bible to interpret the Bible. And the Proverbs will often help us. And there are Proverbs that talk about things that Jesus spoke about, or the old patriarchs spoke about. The Proverbs are a great source of helping us, as it says in verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." You know, by beginning to fear the Lord, who he is, he's our great, awesome creator, sustainer of life. Yes, he's our Father, but yes, he is almighty, all creator. And that's the beginning of knowledge. Because when we get a right perspective of God, we will be driven to his word. We'll say, "Lord, I want to understand more about you. I want to understand more about what you've got to say." And so when we live reading the Proverbs, we get to live understanding the signs of the times. Who knows, you know, this COVID-19 and the sign of the times we're in. Are we living at the beginning of the end, or is this a foretaste of what the beginning of the end will look like? Who knows? But by reading the Proverbs, we can help to understand and get wisdom and guidance for these parts of our lives. I'm not saying that the Proverbs will answer all the questions you've got about COVID-19 or the situation we find ourselves in. But what it will do is it will give us wisdom in situations that might arise because of COVID-19 or the situation we find ourselves in. And it will give us an answer. It will give us the ability to speak the word of God into that situation. You see, the person of Proverbs is actually God. God is wisdom. Now, he's love, he's a whole lot of other things, but God is also wisdom. And we gain wisdom through a relationship with God. You know, the best way to get any kind of wisdom is to develop and deepen your relationship with God. And that might just mean perhaps increasing your prayer time, but certainly reading the word, and maybe picking up on the Proverbs. And just, I'm not saying you have to read a chapter a day, but maybe just dipping in and out occasionally, maybe just looking at it. Even if you read, one chapter of Proverbs a week, there are only 31 chapters, so you'd be through it in a year. But actually, you would pick up some really good things that God says in general about life through his Proverbs. Knowledge begins when we become wise through having a right relationship with God. That's the fear of the Lord, recognizing who he is and who we are. We are sinful creatures. You know, who are we to go around demanding more of God, or that he must bless us and he must give us this? And, you know, your word, "I call forth thy word," that says, "You will bless me, and so I call down the blessing." You know, that's not our role to do that. God is almighty. And as the prayer of Solomon showed, when our prayer and our focus is towards other people, God says, because you've not been selfish, because you've not focused on yourself, then I will give you that stuff as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek how to bless his people as well. Seek how to bless those around you. And then God will add all of these things to you. You know, it makes me cringe when I hear some of these people praying, when they call down this from heaven, and we demand this, and we speak to this, and we declare this, and we decree this, and we loose this. You know, I think sometimes we lose. There is an aspect that, yes, we do have a father-son relationship. We are his adopted children. But that doesn't make us some kind of person who can go around demanding what we have. You know, imagine if I went to my parents' house and just said, "Well, I demand that you feed me right now. And I demand that you put the heating on. And I decree that I will be able to sit on the sofa." You know, how would that make my parents feel? I know if my kids did it, they'd get a thick ear. You know, so why should we treat God the same way? Have some respect for God. The beginning of wisdom, as it says here in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let's not treat God flippantly. You know, he could stop us breathing right now. He is Almighty God. Yes, he blesses us. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he's gracious and compassionate, as Psalm 103 says. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow in anger, rich in love. As far as the east is from the west, there he removes our sins from us. But he does it all, not us, not us by decreeing and declaring. We trust in him and say, "God, every morning I thank you for the blessing of being able to open my eyes again this morning. I thank you for the blessing of being able to take breath. I thank you for the blessing that I have life." I don't demand anything from you, God. My life is yours. Use me today to further your kingdom and your gospel, I pray, in Jesus' name. That's a far better way to decree and declare God's purpose for your life. The fear of the Lord means a reverential trust in him, knowing that he is almighty, but knowing that he is gracious and compassionate and full of love. Christ is wisdom personified. You can see some of this in Proverbs chapter 8. If you go and read Proverbs chapter 8, you'll see how Christ is just full of wisdom, and he handles situations. Always makes me laugh when people say, well, if Jesus was here, he would. No, if Jesus was there, he would act with full wisdom and knowledge of everything, and he would choose the wisest path, and he would cut us to the quick. Even those of us who are Christians who think we know what God wants, I think sometimes we're too quick to declare and decree and demand over something, whereas actually sometimes God just says, no, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A reverential trust, not a bossiness, not a declaring or a decreeing. Paul declared this truth in Colossians chapter 2. We turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 2 to 3. And Paul writes this. He says, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see that? In Christ, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in Jesus. And our joining with him and confessing our sins to him and trusting in him daily, it's in him are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, as we read the Proverbs and we say, before you read them, just say, God, I come to you this morning. Make one of these Proverbs stand out to me. Help me to spread that to people who don't know you today. Lord, I ask this through Jesus' name, because in Jesus everything is hidden and the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So what are you building your life on? Are you building it on man's wisdom? Because man's wisdom, yeah, it works a lot of the time, but God's wisdom often is so insightful and so deep and so true that people will say, wow, where did that truth come from? Let's trust in God. And as we take these next couple of Sundays and I just look at a few passages in Proverbs, let's have receptive hearts to say, God, we want your wisdom. Give us your wisdom, we pray, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are the source of all wisdom. That, Lord, wisdom is hidden. But, Father, in you is the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to get through this life. And Lord, not only to get through it ourselves, but Father, to love and bring others into that relationship. Father, forgive us the times where we have demanded, decreed, declared, commanded or spoken into the situation. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would learn a little bit more of that reverence of knowing you. Father, returning back to saying, God, you are Almighty God. Lord, speak to us through the Proverbs, that we may be able to speak to others and spread your life and your love and your knowledge. Lord, because your Proverbs, as it says in your word, is righteousness, justice and integrity. Father, I want to be a person who is righteous. Lord, I want to be a person who's known for justice, and I certainly want to be known as a person of integrity. Lord, I pray that as we read certain Proverbs, Lord, as we read the Proverbs in our own time, Father, would you speak righteousness? Would you speak justice? Would you speak integrity into our lives? And Lord, may that be shown to others, so that, Father, when they ask, we can say, it's through Jesus Christ and him alone that we have righteousness, justice and integrity. Lord, I ask my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris, will you lead us in a final song, please?
Before our last song, I'm just going to read from Isaiah 45, verses 6 to 8. that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Lord, I pray that you give each one of us, as we come out of this lockdown in the near future, you give us opportunities, Lord, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, Lord, to those people, our friends and family that we've been praying for, that they might come to know you. Our last song is Let It Rain.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates. Let it rain. Let it rain. I feel the waves of your love. Feel the winds of your spirit. Let us hear. I feel the rains of your mouth. I feel the winds of your spirit. Now the heart beating in. I sing it again. I feel.
that's the cry of his generation. The heavens would open up over us.
Thank you for joining with us today online. I hope you were blessed. I certainly was blessed in the worship and being able to bring the word to you. Just a reminder that after this, at 11:45, we will have a online get together. So go and grab yourself a cup of tea or coffee or whatever you're going to drink and come back and join us. The details are what we normally, the same details as Zoom details, but I will post them in the WhatsApp group again. And just to close, I'd like to pray the priestly blessing over all of us. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favour on you and give you peace. Amen.